Thank you, each one of you, for listening to this podcast. Myself, Vishnu, I am a .NET programmer and cloud architect from Thiruvananthapuram, Kerala state. I having experience working with the different cloud vendors like Microsoft Azure, Amazon Web Services, and Google Cloud. The Coding Talks is a podcast which features some kind of technology topic in each episode. This podcast will be available on all leading podcast platforms, including Spotify. Feel free to listen from any one of your favorite podcast as you like. All the opinions that I expressed through this podcast are purely personal and do not represent any of my employer's view in any way. In addition to the podcast, I do have an YouTube channel and also a meetup group called Coding Talks Cloud Computing. If you join that meetup group, which is for free, you will get notifications of the upcoming live sessions. Also, on the YouTube channel, you can watch some of my past live sessions that I had on the meetup group and also other sessions as well. That's in addition to the podcast. So that's all. And in today's episode of this podcast, I planning to talk a bit about the different data-driven strategies that your businesses can leverage for improving your business or enterprise with the help of AWS services. You know, AWS provides a lot of different services, and how your enterprise can make the most value out of your data by leveraging these different services. AWS services is what we are going to discuss. If you are setting this kind of data collection and analysis with an on-premise architecture, it needs a huge amount of capital expenditure for having that. So the modern approach that organizations are having, or the more modern model, architecture model, is going for some cloud vendors like AWS, which have the capability of handling this much of data in a scalable way. And also these cloud providers like AWS provides a vast amount of services that your enterprise can leverage and get meaningful insights out of the data. Nowadays, the generative AI is one of a trending topic out there. And to get the most out of the generative AI from your enterprise data with utmost privacy and not allowing your enterprise data to go outside of your account, AWS provides different services. And by using that services, you can have a secured, scalable architecture with your domain data plus the capabilities of their generative AI like technologies and or different foundation models, and your business can arrive at better decisions out of that. So this is applicable for enterprise as well as for small to medium scale businesses as well. We are going to understand all those things. And the main theme of this podcast is to leverage data using the AWS services and to arrive meaningful decisions out of that. Before we going into specific services that AWS provides, let's understand the capability of the cloud vendors like AWS. You know, recently there is an event happened in Amazon. Every one of you may aware of that. That's the Prime Day event 2023. And this was the single largest sales day ever had on Amazon. And it is one of the biggest Prime Day events ever. And You know, Andy Jassy on his Twitter has posted a post related to that. And that's the biggest or single largest sales day that ever had on Amazon. That's a tweet he made on July 13th, 2023. So what it indicates that during that time, specific AWS services that are part of this Amazon website handled around nearly, if you go by figures, the Amazon DynamoDB handled around 126 million requests per second. Similarly, the Amazon Aurora, which is a serverless, scalable, high available database service from the Amazon, handled around 318 billion transactions or 2 petabytes of data. There are many other services, but what all this indicates that AWS can handle this much amount of data in a scalable way. And imagine if you are going to set up this kind of architecture on your own premise, that requires a huge amount of capital expenditure in advance. So that's called provisioned capacity. So if you try a provisioned capacity on premise, then it would cost around 90% additional. So that's one of the figures they are indicating, like some of the customers they studied and understood, like when they used a service like Amazon Aurora, which is a serverless database, which can scale to hundreds or thousands of transactions in a fraction of a second. If your enterprise try to use that same amount of scalability using a provisioned capacity, then it would cost around 90% additional. And other than that, for setting up the multi availability zone support or high availability, then for setting read replicas and all, it consume additional expenses as well. So by leveraging a service like Amazon Aurora serverless, so this is one service. Similarly, there are other services depending upon what your application needs. I'm talking, this is based on the Prime Day event happened, and that time this much amount of data it handled, as I mentioned before. So what all those indicates that you can have a on-demand service from AWS with a price performance at scale, and also it's a secure and reliable and built upon the best industry security standards out there, and it removes some of the heavy lifting. So AWS handles most of the infrastructure and its maintenance task, so you have to bother only about how to run your applications, how to code your applications, and you can simply deploy that into the AWS services. That will do the rest of things. And AWS now has around 17 plus years of innovation, and AWS provides the first cloud purpose database in the cloud. That's the Amazon DynamoDB. And also the first scalable object storage in the cloud, which is called the Amazon S3. After this, many cloud providers came up with their own versions, but the first scalable object that's available in the cloud is provided by AWS, and that service is called the Amazon S3. Then the first fully managed warehouse in the cloud they have provided for big data scenarios. We could leverage, some of the organizations are leveraging the data warehouses, and Amazon Redshift is one of the first fully managed warehouse in the cloud that's also provided by AWS. And nowadays the generative AI trend is going on, and Amazon is providing the Amazon Bedrock service, which is a fully managed generative AI service which provides the different foundation models that you can use for your application, and you need to pay only for what you are actually using. And also in addition to that, AWS provides the first machine learning ID in the cloud that's called the Amazon SageMaker. If you log into the Amazon SageMaker, you can see different jumpstarts and other different foundation models that are available in addition to the GPT models and custom models, and you can have your own model as well. You can train the model as well. So different services are out there based on whatever business needs. And these all things. So now I covered some of the reasons why organizations are going for data. One of the reasons we discussed are they can improve their business and they can better interact with the customers. They can identify new opportunities, and also they can identify some of the bottlenecks and they can remove that. These all can be done with the help of data. And data analysis collection, data analysis is a crucial factor for every enterprise or business. Now we are going to discuss about how your organization or enterprise can leverage this data. Maybe your existing infrastructure has a lot of applications out there, and there are different sources of data your organization have. Broadly categorizing, we can say it's like internal data which your business needs to run, and also external data that your business interacts with the external third parties or customers. So this way different kinds of data are out there. And if you look into some of the popular sources of data, the devices that your business interacts with, whether your customers using mobile or your business have different third-party vendors. So these all have different devices associated with that, and some businesses have IoT devices as part of their business model, and that also is a source of data. Then the application that are related to your business. Application includes the application related data as well as the logs that are generated by the application. These are huge wealth of data, and these are good sources of data. And then also the third party data, different third party vendors that your business is interacting with, that also has its own data. So the idea here is we can arrive at meaningful insights from all these data. Your existing business model has some of these applications, have different vendors out there. But what we are going to discuss is if you are starting a new business, or if you have an existing workload in a different vendors, if you move that to the different Amazon based services, AWS services, then it provides a kind of a no ETL way of leveraging this data, because different services of Amazon has integrations with each other. Say for example, the Amazon S3, which is an object storage in Amazon, provides the scalable storage with a high availability that has integration with a lot of other services like Amazon Redshift or the Amazon SageMaker and so on. So similar way, different services. Each service serves different purpose, but each of these services have integration there. And one of the goal of AWS is to have a no ETL. ETL means collecting the data from different sources, then transforming it for analysis purpose and loading into the required format or required services in a way so that we can analyze. So to analyze using generative AI technologies, we need the data in hand, cleaned, processed and extracted in a proper form. So that's called the ETL pipeline. And if you look into the ETL pipeline, it's not easy. You need a lot of workflows and different other services to have that ETL in place. So that includes additional expenses. So what I'm going to talk here is, your existing applications or business have different other vendors and maybe data storing in different other services, but Amazon provides different kinds of services. And if you have the data in Amazon related services, you can have a kind of a no ETL kind of an approach where you can leverage the data and arrive at valuable insights out of your data. But that's on one side. Not all businesses have every services within AWS. So they can use according to whatever their needs. Maybe they have data in some other applications or some other service. So in that case, if you want to leverage the generative AI features of AWS, then you need to cater your workflow accordingly. So now we are going to discuss about some of the services and how that services can help you to build an end-to-end data strategy using AWS. For your applications, for your business application, Amazon provides Amazon Aurora, which is a kind of a scalable RDS database, and it's a global database as well. Then Amazon DynamoDB, which is a NoSQL database, which can be used for storing data as well. So application related data storage and querying, you can have different services like Amazon Aurora, DynamoDB, Amazon Kinesis, Amazon MSK, and so on. And also once this data, and also for the, you can have your enterprise can have a data lake with the help of Amazon S3. You know, Amazon S3 is one of the first object storage that is available in the cloud provided by AWS, and it's a on-demand, scalable, high availability service where you can store any form of data. So it can be used for a data lake purpose as well. Idea is you are collecting your entire business data, not the relational data, I mean the other kind of data that your applications are, whether it's a logs or data from the IoT devices or from the third party data or social media interactions. All those datas are collected and then you can store that in the Amazon S3 and can then be used by other services for machine learning or generative AI purpose. And you can have the business intelligence capability or decision making capability and through the Amazon QuickSight as well. We are going to cover all these services as we go along, but the idea is initially we collect the data and store that in the Amazon S3, and then we will leverage this data for analyzing and decision making purpose. So if the data is not there in the S3, or if you have your applications or sources of data from different other forms or your existing infrastructure may be of different other vendor, then you may need to have an ETL in place to pull all those data from there and then move that to the Amazon S3. Otherwise, you can have a Amazon related services for your applications like the Amazon Aurora, DynamoDB. So the benefit is that if you use Amazon services for your application or hosting or application data storage or kind of that purpose, then it has inbuilt integration with Amazon S3, so you can easily move the data from there. Then for data warehouse purpose, Amazon provided the first data warehouse, which is called Amazon Redshift. That's also data warehouse is also used by, that's another approach. You can have the data in the data lake and then you can clean the data, extract it, clean the data, process it and store that to either a normal SQL relational database like Amazon Aurora or DynamoDB, or you can have that store that in the Redshift as well. That's one approach. Another approach is like you can store the data in the Amazon Redshift. It's a data warehouse capable of storing high volume of data, and then you can have analysis from the data warehouse using either the different services out there like the Amazon QuickSight or Amazon Bedrock or SageMaker. So in addition to this, this way you can collect the data, you can store that the data in S3 or Amazon Redshift, or if you have a big data, then you can have a service like Amazon EMR to using the Apache Hadoop or Spark, and you can have the big data processing there. So different approaches are there, and then finally you need to act on your data. So you need to collect from the source, you need to store that using different services, and finally you need to act on the data. Act means arriving the decision making, and for acting on the data you can have different services like Amazon SageMaker, Amazon Bedrock or Amazon QuickSight. So these are some of the ways. Then In addition to this, your business may need the catalog and governance as well. For that, you can use the AWS LakeFormation and Amazon DataZone. So in this way, using these different services which Amazon provides, more than 1.5 million AWS customers are using a different AWS service. That includes the database services, then the analytics service or machine learning services. And if you use Amazon specific services or like the database or storage, then most of the services have inbuilt integration with each other. So you need a separate, you don't need to have a separate ETL. Most of the services have integration. You can check that in the documentation. And Amazon is also planning to come up with a no ETL approach by leveraging the inbuilt integration there between each services. Because ETL, setting up ETL and having an ETL itself is expensive. That's the reason. Now, as of now, some of the companies that are using this are like the Netflix. Netflix is using this kind of discussion. Then Panasonic, National Panasonic, Siemens. Then a lot of companies are there. Hyundai is using that. Similar way, you can have a full list of the companies, current companies that are using these services by going BBC. That's another company. This way, different BMW group is using. So different Atlassian. Then some of the things I remember, like Volkswagen. Many companies are actually using the AWS services for collecting the data and for analysis purpose. Then, in this way, your business data, whether it is internal data or external data, coming from different sections. Different sections means depends on your business. Like your business may have a call center, or may have a mobile interaction, voice, email, may have a portal, billing section, then code section or marketing section, credit reports, financial transactions. Whatever the data is, you can leverage all those different data or customer data to customer intelligence, and that way you can have a kind of a 360 degree view of the customer view of data. And Globe, one of the enterprise name Globe, is actually using the AWS services to find their customer data, collect it, and then form a customer intelligence out of that. And also, it drives their personalized product offering as well. Based on the data and its analysis, Globe is coming up the personalized product offerings for their customers based on the analysis. Then we are going to look into the way by which, because the main topic of this podcast, today's podcast, is about the data. And we understood that we can collect the data, we can analyze the data, but the middle part of that, called the data storage, is critical, and we can dive a bit more into those things. Okay, so first of all, your enterprise, if you are planning to use AWS service, your enterprise can store the data in different services. So S3 is one of the popular object storage service, and the equivalent of that in the Azure is called the AWS storage service. Azure storage service, and also Google also provides a kind of a storage account there. So see, storage service there. So Amazon provided the first object storage, and it's called the Amazon S3. And S3, if you look into S3 itself have different other features. Like itself, S3 provides the data S3 provides the kind of storage model available for on-demand data. Whenever your application needs the data, you can have that on-demand from there. But some of your data that your businesses are kind of an archival data, and you can have the archival services within the S3, so that you can move your data to archival class. It's called the Amazon S3 Glacier. So that way you can reduce the storage cost associated with the S3, but you need to pay for the amount retrieval cost. But it's fine if you are retrieving your data once in a year or so. So this way different kinds of storage types are provided by S3, and based on your business requirements you can select the best type available for that. Then the Amazon EBS is one of the block storage that's available for storing the block data. Then for the file system, you can have the Amazon FSx family and also the Amazon EFS. Some enterprises are using the file system like the NFS, and they can use the Amazon FSx family or the Amazon EFS family. Then in addition to that, you need to be aware of the different ways by which you can transfer your data to AWS. AWS provides a different ways by which you can transfer your existing data, which is there are different services provided. One such service is called the AWS Transfer Family. Then the AWS Now family, then AWS Storage Gateway is another one, and AWS Data Sync. So these are some of the services that are provided. And AWS provides services like the Snow family, where you can ship the data from your on-premise to the Amazon data centers if the network bandwidth is limited and your data volume is huge. So this way you can collect your data from your different sources, either the through an online way or an offline way, and have the data in AWS services like either S3 or EBS or FSx. And once you have that data, you can use that data for analytics, machine learning, visualization, or another whatever purpose, like streaming or whatever purpose you can have. Not only that, the Amazon also provides supporting services for these data, like the AWS backup, which provides facilities for backing up data from all of these services. Then the AWS Elastr disaster recovery service, which provides services for recovering the services if some disaster happens. So each of these services are kind of a high available in nature, but you need to consider from an enterprise standpoint, you need to consider about the disaster recovery as well. For that also different services are provided. Then if you can have a backup of the Elastic block storage using the snapshots as well. So this way different services, data storage related services, are provided out there. Then if you are, as I mentioned, you can have the data move from on-premise to the AWS services using a kind of a network-connected way, in a fast network-connected way, online, as well as if you want to move petabytes of data to and from the AWS. You can have different other services like a physical movement of data, like AWS NowCon or AWS NowCon SSD or AWS Snowball. So in this way, you can have your data. And one of the other crucial service that you can have especially when you do a migration, is AWS Database Migration Wizard. AWS Database Migration Service, or called the DMS service, and around more than 1 million databases are already migrated using that services by different customers. You can migrate your data from one type of database. Say for example, if you have a SQL database in place, you can migrate your data from that SQL database to Amazon specific database like Aurora or DynamoDB using the DMS service. So if you plan to migrate your database from on-premise or from another vendor, it can be from on-premise as well as from another vendor like Azure or Google Cloud as well. You can use the AWS database migration wizard to move the data. Then Samsung, one of the example of an organization that moved like this as of now is the Samsung. So recently Samsung migrated around 1.1 billion users across the three continents from Oracle, which is a proprietary database, to Amazon Aurora with the help of this AWS DMS service. So this way you can move the data from either on-premise or from the cloud vendors, different other cloud providers. And also, if you have your on-premise data stored in some other kind of a file systems like the NFS or SMB or object storage, your existing infrastructure may have these stored in different types of services like NFS service or SMB service or object storage, whatever, or even in Hadoop, you can use the AWS data sync, which is a kind of a simple and secure data transfer to the AWS storage services that can be considered for a data migration purpose. So this data sync, previously we discussed about the database migration DMS service. Now we are going to discuss about the AWS data sync. So this is for the object movement of data. Object, if you have some data, object data in your on-premise or on a different cloud vendor like Azure files or Azure Blob storage or Google Cloud storage, you can use AWS data sync to move the data from those areas and also move the data to the and through that AWS data sync you can move the data to Amazon S3. So Amazon S3, as I mentioned before, Amazon S3 provides different storage classes like standard, the hot. It can be considered like a kind of a way by which you can better optimize your cost in cost strategies using AWS service. So if you are sure that you you can move this data and you don't need frequently access the data, then you can store that in Amazon S3 under the required different storage classes are provided by there. And there is a session I took earlier particularly about the Amazon S3, and if you look into that session, that's available on the YouTube as well as on the podcast as well. If you look into that section, you will get a good picture of the different storage classes that are provided by the Amazon S3. So depending upon the need, how frequent you are accessing the data, you can select the best storage classes. And even if you are not aware of any storage class in particular, there is a kind of a storage class called the Intelligent Tier, which is a feature available within the S3, free for all users. No extra charge is added for that. S3 will by itself identify the required storage class based on how frequently you are actually accessing the data, based on the pattern how you are accessing data, and then move the class, move the data or objects to the associated classes. So that by default, if you select that intelligent tier as a storage class, then S3 will intelligently analyze your data, object data, and then move the data to required classes. So this means that if you are not accessing an object for say for around 90 days or more, then intelligent tier will automatically move that to a specific storage class. In addition to that, you can have your own custom lifecycle policies as well. Means if you are, say for example, if you are not accessing a data for 5 or 10 days, then you can move that to a different storage class. So why we are moving to different storage classes to optimize the reduce the cost and optimize the cloud cost efficiency. So storage, if you store the data in a standard class, the storage cost will be a bit higher, but the advantage it provides is that you can on demand access the data. No transfer charges are required for you need to pay, but at the same time, if you are storing something in a kind of an archive kind of class like Amazon Glacier, the storage cost will be minimal, but you need to pay for the movement charges or data movement charges. You can have all these details in the document. So the idea is, if you are migrating your existing data, whether it is from your existing Hadoop infrastructure or NFS or SMB, or even from other cloud providers like Google or Azure, you can use the AWS Data Sync for migrating these data. So this is for the object storage. Earlier we discussed about the database migration service, where database migration service where you can move the data from your on-premise or different other cloud provider databases like SQL or Oracle and move that to Amazon specific databases. And Samsung is one of the example which we discussed. And sometimes not only from existing object or from the existing database, sometimes your organization may have data from software services as well. Say for example Salesforce, your organization may be using the Salesforce and you need to move the data from there, and you may have individual other applications as well. For that there is a service called AWS App Fabric can be used, which can help you to connect SaaS applications for improved productivity. So this App Fabric can connect the data from the SaaS applications, and then you can move the data to different data destinations within the AWS, like Amazon S3 or Amazon Kinesis or Amazon Security Lake, or and then you can have different other data analysis based on the stored data. At this point you may be wondering whether if you have a custom application for your enterprise, the question is, you might be asking is whether can I move the AWS App Fabric data, can I move data using the AWS App Fabric from the local from your existing application, custom applications to App Fabric, to AWS services or not. As of now, you can check the AWS App Fabric documentation, and some of the popular SaaS applications that are supported by App Fabric includes the Jira, Dropbox, Google Workspace, Microsoft 365, then Miro, Slack, then Zoom. These are some of the tools, and also security tools like Logs, Splunk and Rapid. These are all supported. If your enterprise is using any one of these services, you can check the documentation as well for the AWS App Fabric. Then you can move the data from there to AWS. Then in addition to that, the app flow, which we, in addition to this App Fabric, which we just discussed, there are other services within AWS for specific purposes. For example, Amazon App Flow is one such service. Amazon Athena is another service. SageMaker is another service. SageMaker can be used for machine learning and other purposes, and also QuickSight. QuickSight is a service where you can form decisions from the data. So there are different other services out there like Amazon App Flow, Kinesis, Amazon Athena, SageMaker and so on. Glue is used for connecting the data from different other. So using all these different services, these services itself has their own connectors, where you can connect to different other sources. So previously we discussed about the DMS, where you can collect the data from the database, and also we discussed about the app fabric where you can collect the data from different SaaS applications that are supported by the app fabric. Then we also discussed about the data sync where we can collect the existing data from the different file system object or other cloud vendors. But in addition to that, there are different individual services within AWS for specific purposes that itself has its own connector. For example, the Amazon QuickSight, it can be useful for arriving decisions based on data. So that has its own connector there. So the core elements that are required for a strong data strategy is it should be comprehensive, like a set of tools. It should provide, say, tool for different use cases, and like we discussed before, it must be integrated. Like each services must be connected so that you can easily exchange data between each other, and governance. Not only that, you need some governance mechanism in place. So all these different characteristics or core elements are required for a strong data strategy, and AWS provides different set of tools or services with these capabilities. So most complete, so whether it's a kind of a relational or other kind of databases, AWS provides your data store, database, different database service required for your application. So when it comes to the relational database, Amazon provides the RDS. Amazon RDS is a relational database service, and it's a kind of a multimodal database where if you look into the database, RDS, you can have different kinds of models. So models means each vendor. So if you want an Oracle database, you can have from there. Then you can have something like a SQL database, you can have from there. So in addition to that, if you want a MySQL database, you can have from there. Then different kinds of relational databases are supported, Postgre that is supported. So if you open the Amazon RDS service, it will ask you to select which flavor of database you want. Then in addition to that, Amazon provides a custom database called the Amazon Aurora, which is a kind of a relational database as well. The advantage you get from selecting the Amazon Aurora is it provides high availability, and also it's a kind of a multi-region database where it's a global database where it has serverless capabilities as well. So you need to pay only for what you are using, and also it provides some of the high availability and other features which the other relational databases don't have. Then in addition to the relational database, there are key value databases like Amazon DynamoDB, where you can have a key value store. Then DocumentDB, Amazon provides the Amazon DocumentDB for document related purpose. Then if you want to cache your application, that also part of the data, you can have a cache, Amazon Elastic Cache. Then graph database, Amazon provides the Neptune one. Then if you want to have a time series kind of data, then Amazon TimeStream database is there. Then Ledger, for Ledger purpose, Amazon QLDB database is there. Then if you have a wide column related kind of database, Amazon KeySpaces is there. Then for memory kind of a database, then Amazon Memory DB is there. So different kinds of data is there. Also so the idea is from whether it's the different sources like databases, SaaS applications or third party data or media or data stream, you can collect the data and you will get a full picture of your business and customers with the help of AWS services, and then you can again arrive different decisions or insights based on its data using AWS services itself, and then you can again connect to the people or the devices. So this way an end-to-end strategy can be combined. And like I previously discussed, the ETL way of collecting the data that's used by many organizations and enterprises is actually a bit complex, and also the way by which we use an ETL pipeline for most of the enterprises is complex by itself, and it's tough to manage and also difficult to create as well. And for understanding that those kinds of ETL pipeline, it's very hard. Most of the ETL pipelines use a lot of stored procedures and all. So if you have the most of the services within AWS, then it has inbuilt integration within each other, so you can reduce the ETL pipelines. But some cases that's not possible. You may have your data residing in some different vendor or some other services outside of AWS. In that case, you can use AWS Glue to collect data or to discover, prepare and integrate your data, all your data at any scale. So the AWS Glue is a kind of a service which where you can collect all in one. It's a kind of a data integration service. It's a cost effective, serverless and scalable, and it has specific tools to support all kind of data users. And whether it's a data whether it is a developer or data scientist or whatever, different kinds of tools are available, and it supports all the workloads in one place. Then AWS Glue also has that data quality where it automatically measure, monitor and manage data quality in your data lake. So this means you can have variety of features using the data collected using the data glue and store it in the data lake. So it can generate automatic data quality rules, and it can enhance the data quality for better decision making, and it reduces the manual efforts from days to hours. So different AWS is trying to invest in a zero ETL future. As we understood earlier, the ETL is a bit more expensive. So AWS is trying to reduce the ETL by providing native integration between different services. As of now, some of the services which I'm going to mention, these have deeper integrations within each other. So Amazon S3 has integration with other services like Amazon Aurora, Amazon Redshift, Amazon SageMaker, Amazon EMR, Amazon Athena, and Amazon Kinesis. Similarly, and vice versa. And similarly, Amazon Aurora also has integration with Amazon S3, Redshift, SageMaker, and vice versa. So different these services, S3, Aurora, Redshift, SageMaker, EMR, Athena and Kinesis. These services have integrations within each other. Then Amazon Aurora also has integration, a zero ETL integration with Amazon Redshift as well. This means that if you have some data in the Amazon Aurora without any ETL pipelines or anything, you can easily integrate that with Amazon Redshift. Redshift is a data warehouse service. So this means if you have a lot of Amazon Aurora DBs, you can collect all those data to the Amazon Redshift in an easy way without any kind of any separate ETL integration. And this way you can it's actually very simple, and you can simply do a few clicks and then connect the data from the Amazon Aurora to the Amazon Redshift. So this is in preview now, as of now. The benefit is like, no, once this zero ETL integration with Amazon Redshift and Aurora is available, then there will be no ETL pipelines, and you can have real-time analytics and machine learning on transactional data. As you know, the Amazon Aurora is a RDS database. It's a custom RDS database with a scalable capability, but if you once this zero ETL integration is available, you could connect your Aurora with the Redshift and then can have a real-time analytics and machine learning on transactional data. And another thing I mentioned, like we can consolidate insights from multiple Aurora databases. If your business is using multiple Aurora databases, which most of the businesses do have, then it can collect the data from multiple Aurora databases. and also the Amazon Redshift has a streaming data ingestion support as well, so it can inject the data from Amazon Kinesis. So this is useful for streaming purpose. So this way, there is a broadest and most cost-effective set of analysis services are available from Amazon. Amazon Athena, as we discussed earlier, it's an kind of an interactive query, and if you have some data within the S3, you can use Amazon Athena to connect to the S3 and can have an interactive query. Similarly, if you have some data in the S3, you can use a service like Amazon EMR to do the big data processing. Then if you want to search some, do some operational or search analytics, you can use the Amazon Open Search service and can interact with whatever other AWS service that this service has integration, and then can do operational and search analytics. Similarly, real-time analytics is possible with the help of Amazon Kinesis and Amazon MSK. Then QuickSight is one of the decision-making service that is available, or business intelligence tools that is available from the AWS, which can also connect with the other services like S3 and get meaningful insights. In addition to this, the governance can be have with the help of governance means the managing of data between different services. That's also important to consider the data privacy, and you need to have a security mechanism in place so only the required persons can access the data. So that's called the governance. Governance is difficult without the lake formation, and AWS provides a tool called the AWS Lake Formation, where you can have some kind of a tagging based approach to have governance with the different other AWS services. Also, for data integration, AWS Glue can be used. And now some of these services are serverless as well. This means you don't need to bother about any configuration or other thing. You can just use the service as it is and just pay for whatever you are actually using. So minimal configuration, minimal maintenance, and Amazon will take care of most of the things. The effort will be much minimal for you as an enterprise to. Now we are going to discuss a bit more about the Amazon QuickSight. So QuickSight is a kind of a scalable, embeddable, and it's a ML-powered business intelligence tool service built for the cloud. You can connect a QuickSight with whatever data sources you want with the help of different AWS services, and you can have a business intelligence service dashboard so that you can get the most value out of your data. So this is one of the final place. Initially, we understood like we collect the data through various mechanisms, and then or we can have the data there within the AWS using different AWS services, and then have integration. So finally, all this data reaches the QuickSight, or with the help of SageMaker as well as the Bedrock, you can finally arrive at a dashboard or some kind of a final charts where you can take decisions. So in addition to that, you can now ask questions to Amazon QuickSight. So you can ask natural language questions and receive answers with the help of relevant visualization. So some of the common use cases where you can have this natural language question is if you want to look up some fact, if you want to get some answers quickly without navigating dashboard filters, you can have that. Then you can have new insights generates on the fly without creating new dashboards. So if you want to do some lightweight analysis or something, you can generate new insights, and also you can have data drilled down. You can pinpoint data specific to an aspect of the business without modifying the dashboards. So Amazon QuickSight solve all the different kinds of tasks like a fact lookup, lightweight analysis, and also data drill down without requiring the help of an analyst. So you can reduce the analyst involvement in this, and that way you can use the QuickSight, and also you can Amazon QuickSight can also be used for querying using the natural language and generating answers using large language models that's available. So these large language models are available from since 2020, and you can combine the large language models, and it's inbuilt there. So if you ask a question using natural language to Amazon QuickSight Q, which is a feature, then it will provide answers based on the data. Then there's built-in support for AI for dashboard there. It helps to detect the anomaly, as well as you can useful for forecasting, contribution analysis, and why questions as well. So this way different services, and earlier we looked into some of the data collection and data storage services in specific, and now we are going to look into some of the AI services that are provided by AWS. Some of the core services, AI services provided by AWS, are text, vision, and speech. And nowadays, the generative AI capabilities is also inbuilt into services. So this means that the core AI services, along with the generative AI, can be used for specialized business processes or conversation for developing chatbots or anything. Or if you want to do a health check of anything, you can have that. Then if you want to do search or summarization of documents, you can have that. And for various other industrial and code and DevOps cases, code also for code generation, and also the code whisperer is another tool which is provided by AWS, can be used. So this way different AI service, and AWS is more and more integrating different generative AI services into their existing infrastructure, so that existing customers who are using the dash data, or the new customers who are going to use the services, can get the most out of data. Then the ML services, machine language services provided by AWS, are the Amazon SageMaker. This is helpful if you don't want to develop an algorithm from scratch, and if you want to use some algorithm, and if you want to make some machine language model from those algorithms, you can select different algorithms from the existing jumpstarts available on the SageMaker, and you can use your business data and train the LLM in such a way that it can be customized for your organization, and the data will remain private to your account, so that you can ensure the privacy of your data. Then if you want to have a custom algorithms, you can use that within the Amazon SageMaker. So custom ML frameworks are available, like PyTorch, TensorFlow, and Hugging Face. Those are also available from there. So this we discussed now the we discussed a lot of different services used for collecting, storing, and analyzing the data. So when it comes to the final part, the analysis and the decision making is one of the main factors or main reasons why organizations are collecting the data. So you can once the data is in a format which the Amazon generative AI services can use, that then the advantage you are getting is AWS provides the best class models to build the best generative AI application, and also it's a secure and private environment to customize these models with your data. None of your data goes outside, like the other general purpose AI models available out there. So this is within your account and the data remains. It's a secure and private environment and data resides there. Then you know, to have a generative AI processing with the custom models, especially if you want to build some new machine language model, or if you want to leverage some AI services, you need to have some managed services like Amazon Bedrock or Amazon SageMaker. Otherwise, you need to do a lot of work behind the scene, and you need to have an associated parallel processing cluster as well. So by providing these managed services, AWS remove the heavy lifting and increase the productivity, and it's very low cost and low latency with the built-in purpose ML infrastructures are available. Then we are, before winding up the session, once we collect the data, we can leverage the data using QuickSight, Amazon QuickSight. It has inbuilt machine language, more natural language query processing capabilities. But if you want to further analyze your data using generative AI models or some other foundation models, then Amazon provides a service called Amazon Bedrock. And this is one of the easiest way to build and scale generative AI applications with the foundation models. As of now, the 5 foundation models are available within Amazon Bedrock. This may change. So the 5 models are Amazon Titan, which is one of the models which can be used for text summarization, generation, classification, open-ended question and answer and information extraction, embeddings and search. Then the Anthropic, which is used, which is an LLM. It's also, it's called the Cloud 2 from the Anthropic. It's used for LLM for conversation, question answering and workflow automation. Then the Jurassic 2 from A121 Labs, which can be used for multilingual LLM for text generation. Stability AI from Stable Diffusion. Stable Diffusion from Stability AI. It can help you to generate unique high quality images and arts and design. Then Command plus Embedded from Cohere can be used for generating text generation model and embedded model for search. The up-to-date list of foundation models that are available for Bedrock can be found from the Bedrock documentation. So this way, a lot of services are provided. Then a quick summary before we winding up. AWS provides the full set of tools that can help you to develop an end-to-end business strategy, and by using these services, which have inbuilt most of the services have inbuilt AI capabilities as well, then your businesses can get the most out of the data. And not only storing data and arriving decisions, services like AWS Lake Formation can help you to govern data within your data lake on Amazon S3. Also, tools like cloud ID tools like Amazon SageMaker provides end-to-end ML developments. And also, if you want to classify or develop a data catalog, Amazon Data Zone provides a service for catalog, discover, share and govern data. Then coming to the governance part, it's also important. Not only your organization, it's not just about storing the data and analyzing it. You also need a way to govern, secure and share data in data lakes and data warehouses. So there is a centralized service available for that, and which is called the AWS Lake Formation. You can have centralized access control policies using that. Then you can also enforce policies across all services. you can define fine-grained access permissions, simplify access management, and also you can have enhanced integrations with Amazon Redshift, Amazon EMR, Amazon SageMaker, and Amazon Athena, and all. Then if you want to catalog your data, then you can use the Amazon Data Soak. So this can help you to manage organization while governance in one place. You can also catalog your data with a business context, and you can simplify using Amazon Data Zone. You can simplify access to analytics for everyone in your organization. Then before we winding up the session, so if you want to learn more about the different data services that are available for leveraging your organization data, then you can check out the documentation. Thank you everyone for listening this session. Have a great day, and I will be coming up with the further sessions on the coming days. Past few months I was a bit busy, so there were not much sessions, so you can hope to have more sessions in the coming days. Thank you once again for listening to this podcast.